Here's your fair share of the truth. Brought to you by your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Welcome. You're going to get your fair share of the truth today because you're entitled to it. All right. After flirting for months and indeed years with the idea of running for president, the Donald made it official yesterday, and he is in it. He is in it to win it. And let me tell you something. This is a big deal. And I'm going to tell you why. But first, let me run some of what the Donald said yesterday.
I am officially running for president of the United States. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that. I don't need anybody's money. It's nice. I don't need anybody's money. I'm using my own money. I'm not using the lobbyists. I'm not using donors. I don't care. I'm really rich. I'll show you that in a second. Saudi Arabia, without us, is gone. They're gone. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me. And I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I will have Mexico pay for that wall. Yeah. Mark my words. Yeah. Obama is going to be out playing golf. He might even be on one of my courses. I would invite him. I actually would say, I have the best courses in the world, so I'd say, you know what, if he wants to, I have one right next to the White House, right on the Potomac. If he'd like to play, that's fine.
Let me tell you about this.
He had a lot more to say, too.
Yeah, he did. And we'll get to that in a minute. But let me tell you about Donald Trump. And listen, people were apoplectic about this on the right and on the left. About, Donald Trump is running. Oh, my God, how can you take him seriously? But let me tell you something. The Donald is going to shake it up. He is. And the reality about it is that I don't think that you can underestimate Donald Trump. And here's why. People hate Washington. They hate politicians. And they're perfectly happy to champion a candidate who tells politicians to go to hell and provides creative directions on the path there. Donald Trump's candidacy does not exist in a nation where people think the politicians actually care about making the country great. It only exists in a nation of cynics who think the powers that want to manage decline and profit from it. See, that's why it matters. He is the disrespectful candidate for people who disrespect the process. He'll be rude, he'll be loud, he'll be confrontational, he'll say what he wants to say and what's on his mind. But along the way, he will speak to the fears and the hopes of a lot of people who feel that they are no longer connected with Washington or trust the government to get it right. And that's why Donald Trump matters. He is going to, imagine this, already he's polling ahead of Carly Fiorina, He's pulling ahead of Rick Perry, Santorum, that guy from New York, Pataki, okay, already. He's going to make it onto that stage. Imagine that. Imagine that for a minute. He's going to go after. Think about him debating Jeb Bush, for instance. Think about that for a minute. And people were going nuts yesterday, man. Telling you. They were absolutely apoplectic. So I'm watching the Five yesterday, that show on Fox. And Dana Perino, man. Oh my goodness gracious. Dana Perino was just going nuts. Because Eric Bolling, who's, you know, he's pretty conservatarian. He leans libertarian. And the thing about Donald is going to speak to the people that are conservative, libertarian leaning. He's going to speak to people that feel left behind from Washington. And the thing that everybody says about Donald that knows him is that, hey, he's a guy who gets it. He speaks truth. And he also talked a lot about how he's rich, right? He said, I'm rich. I don't need money. I don't need the lobbyists. I don't need the special interests. And he's right. He's right. And everybody likes Donald Trump. I don't care who you are. And this cuts across all racial, economic lines. If you look at people, the guy from Harlem likes Donald. The janitor in the building likes Donald. The corporate CEO likes Donald. He's going to make a difference. I'm telling you right now, don't discount it. Don't laugh. A lot of people are like discounting it. Say, oh, no, you're not going to do anything. He's not going to make a difference. Yes, he is. He's going to make a big difference. What did you think, Steve?
He's saying what a lot of people want to hear. I think the establishment right now is probably laughing at him. But
yeah.
I think that may change in the future. My only question is, is he grandstanding because he loves to draw attention to himself, or is he dead serious?
I think that this time he is serious. I think, well, we'll see when he files his paperwork, okay? I think he's got 15 days to file his actual paperwork. But I think he is serious, or he wouldn't have done this, gone to the trouble of... NBC, by the way, is now saying that they're looking into... the show, and whether or not
The Apprentice.
They're reevaluating The Apprentice. Like, he really cares about The Apprentice. Although it is great for him for PR, but
I think if he does make a run for it legally, he has to divest himself of that.
Because of equal airtime. Well,
right.
It's more NBC's issue, not necessarily his. But I love, he goes, talking about the money, he says, I'm really rich. That's the kind of thinking you need for this country. It sounds crass. It's not crass. He said, a team of accountants has been toiling to calculate his net worth of $8 billion and assets of $8.24 billion. That's the kind of thinking our country needs. We have the opposite thinking. We have losers. He criticized, of course, Mr. Obama. He said he would immediately repeal the president's illegal executive action. Here's some of the best quotes of yesterday. This is just one day. I cannot think of a presidential launch that was more successful than Donald's. I mean, think about this in comparison to Jeb, okay, with his rent-a-crowd that he had. Here's what he said about Mexico. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing their problems. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people, but I speak to border agents, and they tell us what they're getting. About the Chinese, he said, hey, I'm not saying they're stupid. I like China. I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China. Am I supposed to dislike them? And the thing about China, you know, I've said this for years. We owe like $1.8 trillion to China. They need us more than we need them because they need us to pay them back. About the other candidates, he said, there's been no crowd like this. And I can tell you some of the candidates, they went in. They didn't know the air conditioner didn't work. They sweated like dogs. They didn't know the room was too big because they didn't have anybody there. How are they going to beat ISIS? I don't think it's going to happen. Talking about the other candidates and lobbyists, he said, they will never make America great again. They don't even have a chance. They're controlled fully by the lobbyists, by the donors, and by the special interests. Fully. They control them. I have lobbyists. I have to tell you, I have lobbyists that can produce anything for me. They're great. And finally, on Jeb Bush, he said, Bush is totally in favor of Common Core. I don't see how he can possibly get the nomination. He's weak on immigration. He's in favor of Common Core. How the hell can you vote for this guy? You just can't do it. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. All right, we've got the Justin Duckman from Talk Radio News. Justin, what did you think of the Donald and his announcement?
I mean, I think it was a pretty interesting speech that they released. You know, this is Donald Trump, and this is sort of like Christmas morning over here in Washington, D.C. for people who have to write and talk about this all day. I'm sure you're sort of feeling the same way. Either way, this is going to be a pretty big shakeup in the race.
I agree.
It's going to certainly add a huge element to the debates, and I'm looking forward to it.
I agree. Imagine him, and he's going to make the cut. He is going to be on that stage, that first debate, which is, I think, August 6th, if I'm correct on the date. He's going to be on that stage. He's going to make a difference. Imagine him going after, like, for instance, I think the biggest loser in this is Jeb Bush. You know? Imagine.
Yeah, I think it's certainly true. You know, there are two sort of personalities that are not going to mesh very well. Jeb Bush is not a good attack dog. He's somebody who comes off as, you know, pretty austere at the end of the day. He's somebody who's being touted as sort of the intellectual force of the party. And I don't think he's going to be able to give an effective kind of comeback to somebody like Donald Trump, who's going to have the sort of TV lights on him and is going to be going pretty much for the jugular.
Yeah, yeah. I think that... It's going to be great. It's going to be great theater, great political theater, great kabuki theater. But here's the thing about Donald is he speaks the truth. He says things that people want to hear. And I think it cuts across all kinds of socioeconomic, racial lines where everybody likes Donald Trump, really. I mean, seriously, except for the political class. It's interesting because yesterday I was watching The Five. Dana Perino was just going nuts. She couldn't stand it. And then at the same time, I was watching, because he did his first interview with Bill O'Reilly. And Kirsten Powers was on after commenting on it. And she was just so bothered by the fact that... that the Donald was running. And I thought it was interesting because here you've got Dana Perino, admittedly a rhino, and then you've got Kirsten Powers, a liberal,
right,
that both couldn't stand the Donald. And I think, oh, he must be doing something right. Right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, either way, love him or hate him, he is sort of the symbol for success for a huge population of America, especially one who doesn't really pay attention to politics. And that's going to be a huge leg up for him.
I agree. And there's a lot of haters coming out. And it's the same reason people hate people, you know, a lot of people love him. And then, of course, the establishment can't stand him on both sides. And it's the same reason people don't like LeBron or they don't like Tom Brady. It's the same haters.
There we go. I'm sure, you know, he should really get them to come out and campaign for him.
I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to make a huge, huge difference. He's going to shake it out. And I can't wait. And of course, we in the media can't wait because, just again, imagine the Kabuki theater that is going to be the debates now. I'm so looking forward to it. Where it was going to be kind of boring, you know, these guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton and everything leading up to that. I mean, it was kind of hard to imagine a more boring race. And this is sort of, you know, manna from heaven, so.
The Donald. All right, my man. Thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You have a good one. Bye.
At some point, invest your brain energy to recognize when something is fringe.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Skytech Security and Automation, can I help you?
Yes. Your website, freealarmequipment.com, says I can update my home and business burglar alarm system equipment for free. And it's a brand new cellular technology with smartphone and tablet access. Is this true?
Yes, it is. Freealarmequipment.com is giving away home and business alarm systems valued at $1,295 for free.
Okay, that sounds great, but what's the catch?
As long as you use our 5-diamond monitoring of burglar, fire, and medical assistance services for only $49.99 per month, the equipment, activation, and installation is absolutely free.
Wow, only $49.99 a month for all that? My neighbor doesn't have a system. Can he get one?
Absolutely. We'll give him free equipment, and all he has to do is pay the monthly monitoring. So upgrade your home alarm equipment today. Go to freealarmequipment.com. Or call 602-621-2146. That's 602-621-2146. FreeAlarmEquipment.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back. Okay, so I found this clip that I was thinking about with Dana Perino yesterday. This is from The Five yesterday, and she's. I mean, I've never seen her so animated and so like angry. Okay, so let me. Hopefully, this will.
Dana, he was not afraid to take shots at other countries. He took shots at China. He certainly took shots at Mexico. You heard the comment about they send us not their best. But he said, you know, I'm going to build a wall on our southern border. I know how to build walls. And then he said, and they're going to pay for it.
Right. On what planet is that actually true? Eric, do you think that you can make Mexico pay for a permanent wall between Mexico and the United States? You could do that.
I think that Donald Trump, no question, you can build a wall.
You're going to make Mexico pay for it.
On what planet could that actually happen? Well, I think it could happen. You can actually do that.
You can make a wall and have another country pay for it?
Yes, you can, but here's the problem.
Okay,
you do it
through,
well, one of the ways you do it is you tax them. You
tax Mexico?
You cut off
the president of the United States is going to tax Mexico to build a wall for the United States of America? I mean, I'm pointing out the absurdity of a lot of these comments. I get it that he's entertaining. I know that he loves America. I know he's done a lot of great things. He also has done things without ever having to work with 535 members of Congress who actually control the purse strings in America. When you're the president of the United States, you have no money unless the Congress says, here's what you can spend it on. So you certainly don't have Mexico's money to make them pay for a wall between the two countries.
You can do it through trade restrictions. You may not like trade restrictions.
And who's going to put those trade restrictions on? Congress has to actually pass the trade restrictions. We saw last week that is not happening with this Congress. The realities are there are, you can be entertaining and you can be fun and you can say things that actually appeal to people and you still have to figure out a way to get to 270 electoral votes. You have to figure out a way to get from Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina.
Executive action precedent has been
allowed. Let me get, I'll tell you, I'll give you this. Even President Obama has not suggested he could get another country to pay for building a wall.
Boy, she's
Mexico
not going to let him talk.
No, but he's too busy apologizing for America all the time to ask to stick it to anybody. That's the problem.
You know, there's another way of doing this. Listen, Mexico, you're our number one, besides our own pumping of our oil, you're our number one importer of oil. We take more oil from Mexico than any other country, including Canada. We can say, hey, you know what, Mexico? We'll do it all with Canada unless you want to pay for that wall. There's a way to do it.
And you in the energy business, you think that's possible?
I think
in a world market.
How's this, Dana? Here's what I think. I think Donald Trump, you may not like a lot of things that Donald Trump said today, but for once we heard something different.
But we heard a guy. You heard something different that's totally not plausible.
Why?
You just admitted that everything that he said is not plausible.
Well, how did I admit that? Where in the world did I admit
the world, is, you think it's possible for us to say we're not going to take any more Mexico oil? You're going to actually cut it off?
Yeah,
in the world market, you would say that?
Here's what we'll do, Mexico. We're going to cut the price we pay for your oil by $2 a barrel for the next 5 years until we pay for this wall. And they can say either, screw you, United States, or we'll try and sell it
somewhere
else.
You know what they'll do? They'll sell it to China. And then guess who wins? China.
Okay, wait, listen, I'm not, look, all I'm simply saying is there are ideas here that we haven't heard before. And for once, it's refreshing to me to hear something different.
You should be saying that with Rand Paul around, Eric. He's going to be very upset with you.
What are you talking about? Rand Paul has a lot of the ideas that the other candidates
do. I want to make sure you remember Rand Paul.
Do you feel like I'm Donald Trump getting the heat here today?
Wow. She was very upset.
She didn't want to hear it.
Oh, man. She was very upset. And so, look, she represents, I'm going to tell you right now, she represents, the Republican establishment. And that's how the Republican establishment feels about Donald Trump. They are, again, they don't like anybody. Somebody like, for instance, Rand Paul. Rand Paul is within the establishment trying to shake up the establishment. Donald Trump isn't. And I think that's why he matters. He matters. There was an op-ed piece in the New York Post. This was the editorial board put out. With humor and pride and two populist fists, Donald Trump on Tuesday entered the GOP race for the White House. However, his campaign turns out he's already improved the field. After all, he spoke to the voters Republicans have to win over if they're to retake the White House. To the Americans who believe in hard work and fair play, to the folks who show up every day to make this country work, we need a leader that can bring back our jobs, can bring back our manufacturing, can bring back our military, can take care of our vets. We need somebody that literally will take this country and make it great again. He pretty much summed up the appeal the GOP needs to make. This is what the GOP needs to be saying. He rained contempt on the political class and all its recent works, from Obamacare to the pending Iran nuclear deal to the third world airports like LAX and LaGuardia. He spoke up for people tired of spending more money on education than any nation in the world, and we're 26th in the world. He hit hard on the state of the economy. negative growth in the first quarter. Joblessness far worse than the official rate. A stock market that is so bloated and promised to be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. He's proud of making himself rich. I've done an amazing job, and rightly so. He didn't even have to mention that he's the guy who gets things done because everybody knows it. More, he knows his success is an asset, the kind of thinking you need for this country. And let me just say one more thing. Maybe if Mitt Romney had embraced his success, he'd be sitting in the White House right now.
Yeah, but he was listening to his consultants. That was the problem.
The Republican establishment, the people like Dana Perino that got so upset. Okay. We've got a caller from Miami. We've got Jose. I'm going to tell you right now, this guy is going to shake up everything. Because, yeah, maybe if we had had somebody who wasn't afraid of their success and talked about their success. Look, because I used to say this all the time. With the issue with Mitt Romney and how he was painted as a Richie Rich and successful, and you're right, he shied away from it because, of course, you know, his consultants were telling him, you know, you don't want to do just no. Everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to beat Donald Trump. Everybody in America wants that. But we've demonized success. The left has been just so good at that, at demonizing success. And so I think that this is going to be actually a good thing. Call me crazy. I just think that I'm glad to see it. I think that you cannot underestimate it. And I think that the GOP establishment is just quaking in their boots. Reince Priebus right now is not happy. Karl Rove and those of his ilk are not happy. And, you know, he's been compared right now. People have compared him to Ross Perot. No. He's not Ross Perot. Now, Ross Perot was a kook. Okay, and here's another thing, too. If Herman Cain... Now, think about how far Herman Cain got. At one time, he was leading the field. Donald Trump is not Herman Cain. Herman Cain got caught up in... the fact that he lost me when he stumbled with this, you know, foreign policy Libya question. He was like, I don't know about Libya. And, of course, they brought him down with the stories of infidelity. But more importantly, I think with voters, he lost it with his foreign policy. He didn't really know anything. He reminded me of, you know, kind of Sarah Palin-ish. Donald Trump is not like that. Donald Trump is a lot smarter and more successful, and he's not gonna get stumped if you ask him a question on foreign policy. And you know, you can say that he's unqualified and he's says off the cuff remarks, and I think that's what people like. I'm sorry, I think that this is a. You know, I think if you underestimate Donald Trump, you do it at your own peril, frankly. So.
Unscripted and off the chain.
He's awesome. He's like, he reminds me of like a talk show host. And, you know, they're saying that he's the head of the clown car. I think, again, say that all you want, but he's going to make a difference in the race. We'll be right back.
Go, 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 go. Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
It's your birthday, and you know we don't give up, because that's your birthday. You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need.
More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk 1100 KFNX.
You'll find me in the club, bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need.
This is the Blaze Radio News. I'm Chris Barnes. Accused of conspiring to help ISIS plan terror attacks on New York City landmarks, a 20-year-old Queens, New York college student. Authorities say Munther Omar Salah bragged to undercover informants about carrying out such attacks. He was arrested over the weekend after authorities spot him acting suspiciously on the George Washington Bridge. Reaction coming in to the Donald's announcement yesterday that he's running for the White House. Here's the Blaze Radio's Greg Moore.
Donald Trump supporters are fired up after hearing Trump declare his candidacy for president.
People know who he is. People know what to expect.
With all his money, he taught his kids how to work, how to get educated, and I think that's what he could do for the youth of America today.
The Republican billionaire making the announcement at Trump Tower, the 69-year-old real estate investor, predicted he would be a great jobs president. His supporters say Donald Trump is not your typical politician.
Our country needs a strong business leader who has ties business-wise internationally.
That's classic rocker Neil Young's 1989 hit Rockin' in the Free World, Young Not Thrilled, that Trump decides to use that song as entrance music for his announcement. Before Trump takes the stage at Trump Tower in New York City, Young's hit does blast through the sound system. Young's manager now speaking up, telling Mother Jones Trump's use of that song was not authorized and that the rocker is in fact a longtime supporter of Bernie Sanders. And friends and family gather in Massachusetts to honor an American killed while fighting ISIS in Syria. 36-year-old Keith Broomfield will be eulogized and then buried today. Broomfield had no military training and is believed to be the first U.S. citizen to die fighting alongside Kurdish forces against ISIS. He was killed a couple of weeks ago. This is news on the Blaze Radio Network. Truth lives here.
Arizona News Radio, federal court appearance for the Phoenix man accused of helping two others and carrying out an attack on a Draw Muhammad event in Texas. Abdul Karim held without bond after a hearing in Phoenix Tuesday, his brother telling reporters the accusations are false.
He's painting a picture of him being an animal. He's not an animal. He's a loving family member, brother, uncle. Son.
Two men Karim is accused of helping were killed trying to attack the Garland, Texas event last month. An FBI agent testifying that Karim may also have planned to attack the Super Bowl. Salvation Army putting hydration stations around the central desert areas with these extremely hot temperatures, giving out bottled water, hats, sunscreen.
We will be out from 8 till 2 every single day for the next week because we are understanding that Maricopa County will issue this for the rest of this week.
Major John Brackberry, Glendale's not budging on its bid to cancel its arena lease with the Coyotes, the council reaffirming it Tuesday. Geico weather, increasing temperatures again across the state. Jeff Scott, Arizona News.
This check of your KFNX traffic, a service of Enroll America and the Ad Council. If you're traveling southbound on I-17 this morning, you're going to find some slowing around Northern through Camelback. Same thing can be said eastbound I-10 between 83rd and 59th. Not too shabby. And we still have a closure. Burst Water Main, Thunderbird Road, westbound at the 101. America, health insurance now affordable and covers prescriptions, hospitalizations, maternity care, preventative care, and more. Get covered at America.org and take care, people.
From the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center, warmer for Wednesday than it was on Tuesday. We'll have a high of 102, 81 Wednesday night under clear skies. Very hot Thursday with a high 114 with a clear sky Thursday night with a low 82. I'm Keith Langlois from the KFNX Weatherbug Weather Center.
Currently here in Midtown, we're at 90 degrees. Our next news will be in 30 minutes or when it breaks. More Edward Woodson comes your way on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. I'm Chet Reynolds, and you're up to date.
The risks to your money have never been greater. Don't Bank on It is a hot new book which exposes 20 major risks. Here's the first three shocking risks covered in the book. Under current law, you don't own your bank account. Your deposits are an unsecured asset belonging to the bank. What you own is an IOU. The FDIC only has enough reserves to cover 7% of total deposits. 7%! Today, cyber criminals can instantly steal your savings, identity, and credit. No wonder so many Americans have begun hoarding cash and gold. What more can you do to save your life savings? Call 1-800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 now to request a free copy of Don't Bank on It at $20 value, free. Don't wait. Do it now. Call 800-519-6271, 1-800-519-6271, or at edwardwoodson.com.
He's still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
Welcome back. All right, a couple more things I want to get to with. I want to talk about the how this impacts Bush. This is interesting because yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, there's a columnist in the Wall Street Journal. His name is Gerald Seib, and he is like the biggest rhino, okay, establishment guy. And so he writes in this article. He said many are the presidential candidates who hit their high water mark on the carefree day they announced their candidacy, then begin to slide downward as reality sets in. Jeb Bush may be the other kind of candidate. It's just possible that Mr. Bush, who has formally announced his candidacy on Monday, has endured the toughest stretch of his campaign in a seemingly intermittable period between the day in December when he launched a campaign to collect money for a presidential birth and the birth of his actual campaign. Yeah, I got a news flash for you, Gerald. Okay? All that's out the window now with Donald Trump in there. And then this is the best part. He says, he quotes this Republican strategist, this guy named Scott Reed. He says, Jeb's announcement is a new beginning, says Scott Reed, a longtime Republican activist who ran Bob Dole's 1996 presidential campaign. That's the problem. Bob Dole. President Dole? Oh, did he win? Oh, that's right. He lost. Yeah.
Viagra Bob?
Yeah, he lost. He lost, and so did Mitt Romney, and so did that other fellow, John McCain. That's right. So this guy, Scott Reed, who he quotes in his column, he said, he has developed a strong platform, issues will be well-funded, and has the ability to go the distance for this nomination fight. Might go to June in California to put someone over the top and secure a majority of the delegates. You see where, you know, the Wall Street Journal's at. On Sunday, there was a front page story in the Miami Herald saying that Jeb Bush is an honorary Cuban American. And I heard the other day Geraldo say this. Geraldo said, when he did a guest appearance on The Five, Geraldo said, well, he's more Hispanic than Marco Rubio. Really? Marco Rubio's parents are both Cuban. What is he talking about? You can't get more lily white than Jeb Bush. Bush is no more Hispanic than Rachel Dozell is black. Okay? Bruce Jenner is a man. Rachel Dozell is white. And Jeb Bush is not Hispanic as much as he wants to try to be trans-ethnic. Okay? Give me a break.
Transracial.
Trans-ethnic. trans-ethnic. You can go ahead and use that, all of you. Speaking of Rachel, this story gets weirder and weirder. She made the rounds yesterday, all the talk shows. Her 15 minutes is just about up. We won't be talking about her by the end of the week. However, though, there's still some good little kernels and nuggets to glean. This is her yesterday being, this is the most amazing thing about this is how the left has covered for her. And especially, black women have kind of covered for her, kind of taken her under their wing. Here she was yesterday on the,
I've heard a lot of people ask you the question, are you African American or Caucasian? I am not going to ask it that way.
Right.
Are you black?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you mean when you say that? What does it mean to you to assume the mantle, the identity of blackness?
Well, it means several things. First of all, it means that I've really gone there with the experience in terms of being a mother of two black sons and really owning what it means to experience and live blackness. And so that's one aspect. Another aspect would be that I, from a very young age, felt a spiritual, visceral, just very instinctual connection with black is beautiful, just the black experience, and wanting to celebrate that. And I didn't know how to articulate that as a young child. I mean, in kindergarten or whatever, like, you don't have words for what's going on, but certainly that was shut down. I mean, I was socially conditioned to not own that and to be limited to whatever biological identity was thrust upon me and narrated to me, and so I kind of felt pretty awkward a lot of times with that, and I remember when Leon Ruthann chose to adopt my younger siblings, and I, knowing some of the resistance to just my independent spirit and creative ways that I wanted to express myself, I felt like who is going to be the link for the kids in coming to the family.
So that's Melissa Harris Perry. And what's amazing is how, again, they're just kind of covering for her. it's not how you feel. It's not how you look, it's how you feel. This is all about how you feel.
Speaking about how she looks, I understand that yesterday on one of the NBC news shows that they asked her if she used like a bronzer, and she said, yes. How is that any different than Al Jolson doing blackface?
Well, it is the new minstrel show. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. It's the new minstrel show. And she said that when she was drawing self-portraits with the brown crayon instead of the peach crayon. And look, that's not her hair. She had to work it to get that hair. And I get it. You know, there are women that, this always happens. You know, women that have straight hair that want curly hair. Women with curly hair that want straight hair. I get it. I was a wigger, you know, back in the day. I mean, does that mean that Vanilla Ice is black? He's legitimately black? I mean, what does it mean, really? So here's a little bit more. This is when she was on the Today Show with Matt Lauer. And listen to this, because this is interesting. Listen to what she said.
You've changed your appearance. Your complexion appears darker than it did in the photos of you as a young lady. Mm-hmm. Have you done something to darken your complexion?
Oh, no.
I certainly don't stay out of the sun, you know. And I also don't, as some of the critics have said, put on blackface as a performance.
Yeah, let me address that, because some people have said that the way you've changed your opinion is akin to putting on blackface. And Jonathan Capehart wrote in the Washington Post, blackface remains highly racist no matter how down with the cause a white person is. Do you understand what he means by that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you agree with
it? I have a huge issue with blackface. This is not some freak birth of a nation mockery blackface performance. This is on a very real connected level. I've actually had to go there with the experience, not just a visible representation, but with the experience. And the point at which that really solidified was when I got full custody of Isaiah. And he said, "You're my real mom." And he's in high school. And for that to be something that is plausible, I can, you know, certainly can't be seen as white and be Isaiah's mom.
Whoa! Wait a minute. Did you catch that? She can't be seen as white and be Isaiah's mom. What? Well,
what does that say about biracial marriages?
What does that say about Barack Obama? His mom was white. His father was black. So, wait a minute. You're not legitimate? You're not legit because you are seen as white? Oh, are you kidding me? That sets back race relations, I mean, 100 years. She's down with the experience? Are you kidding me? You know, it's like, look, I identify as a dog, therefore I am a dog. Should I have to pay taxes as a dog? That's the question. We'll be right back.
I am officially running for President of the United States.
Don't touch that dial. Back in a moment with Edward Woodson.
Bloomberg reports cash under the mattress is now considered safer than inside a bank. That's right. On November 20th, G20 leaders, including President Obama, voted to enact new banking laws replacing taxpayer bailouts with what's called bank bail-ins. Sounds good, right? Wrong. The fine print of this new bail-in legal doctrine states that your money deposited in bank savings, CDs, or money market funds can be confiscated or converted into bank shares of uncertain value. Oh yeah, I've been warning you about this risk all year on my show. The authors of Don't Bank on It just released a new white paper entitled After the G20. It's free by calling 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271. Discover why your dollars in banks just became dollars at risk. Call 800-519-6271. 800-519-6271 or at edwardwoodson.com.
Retire without worrying about money. Wouldn't it be great if you could retire without having to worry about running out of money? Wayne Candace, the top financial advisor in the country for MetLife, also a certified financial planner practitioner and host of Your Financial Plan, can help. Wayne will even meet with you one-on-one, free of charge, to help you develop a strategy that fits your lifestyle. Stop wondering if you'll have enough to retire on. Schedule your no-cost financial strategy session with Wayne Candace today. Call 480-ON-TAP-88 now. Due to high demand, a limited amount of appointments are available. Call to book yours before we book up. Dial 480-ON-TAP-88. That's 480-ON-TAP-88. The plan for your retirement and financial future is only a call away. Dial 480-ON-TAP-88. That's 480-ON-TAP-88.
Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, securities, products, and investment advisory services are offered by MetLife Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC, and a registered investment advisor. MLIC and MSI. Sire MetLife Companies.
One, two, three, five!
still so mad. Now back to your host, Edward Woodson.
MSNBC's Michael Eric Dyson says that Rachel Dozal is more black than Clarence Thomas. This is so patently racist, this comment. I want you to listen to this, okay? Here we go.
Reaction to the events that unfolded today.
Yeah, it's striking to me that her parents want her to pledge fealty and fidelity and loyalty to her true roots. But what Rachel has suggested that she has embraced an African-American culture, a black identity that seems to run counter to what her parents desire. Now, I understand people getting upset on the black side, on the white side, saying, look, just be who you are and still stand up for what you stand up for. I get that, Ed, but on the other hand, you know, those of us who talk about race as a social construct, that it's more complicated, Bill Clinton is the first black president, though he didn't try to claim he was black, it means that she may not be African-American, but she certainly could be black in a cultural sense. She's taken on the ideas, the identities, the struggles, she's identified with them. I bet a lot more black people would support Rachel Dolezal than would support, say, Clarence Thomas. So the point is, how do we talk about useful blackness, the utility of blackness in the service of justice, and I think here we haven't answered that question yet.
Well, you bring up a very profound point. What's the downside of someone who wants to be in the struggle and make a wrong right?
Right.
Does she need to apologize, as you see?
I'm telling you right now, this turns everything on its ear because... And I said this. I've said this since this story broke. It comes down to like, and the left talks about this all the time. It's how you feel. That's the very basis of identity politics, is how you feel. So how you feel is what you are now. Is that the deal? And what is legitimate here? You know, and again. And the reason why I bring this up again is because, you know, everybody kind of got behind Bruce Jenner saying that, he feels this way. He feels like he's a woman. He felt like he's a woman. And that's okay because, he's come out as transgendered, even though he lived a lie. He lived a lie just the same as Rachel Dolezal lived a lie as well. Where do you draw the line here? Just like I said, if I feel I'm a dog and I've always felt that I was a canine, does that make it so? Maybe I'm just crazy.
Well, I think feelings are valid, obviously.
Right.
But you can't base your life on feelings. We live in reality, which deals with cold, hard facts.
Exactly. And so as much as I feel like, you know, like when you're a little kid, you want to be Spider-Man. Okay? You're not Spider-Man. All right? Or if you're a Wigger, you're not black. Okay? I used to play a lot of basketball. I grew up in D.C. I had an affinity. Like I told you before, I told you on the show a couple days ago that, you know, I had a lot of black friends growing up because I grew up in D.C. And they used to say, yo, you're a brother. Does that make me black? Because I was, you know, I had black friends. You know, some of my best friends are black. I mean, that doesn't make me black. And by the way, I am more Hispanic than Jeb Bush. My mother was from Ecuador. I speak Spanish fluently. I grew up speaking Spanish. Okay? And that is that is my identity. But you wouldn't be able to, you couldn't tell my name, Edward Woodson. And when you see me, if you see me, you can go check out my pictures on Facebook. You know, I don't appear that way, but that's what I am. You can't get away from what you are. It's what you are. It's what you're born. It's genetic or it's racial. It's, you know, regardless of what your experience is, you know, you can talk black all you want or dress black all you want. Or in the case of Bruce Jenner, you know, wear a dress, get breast implants. But, you know, Bruce Jenner's a man. Rachel Dolezal is a white woman. Jeb Bush is a cracker. Okay? Who's got no shot at the nomination? Oh, just, please, people, let's get a little sanity here. But I know that we're living in crazy town. We're living in crazy town, and that's part of the problem, you know. Steve, you've probably identified as a Asian woman, you know, at times in your life.
Oh, yes, yeah, several times.
I'm going to be a Polynesian woman, you know. I mean, just come on.
You know what? I am what God has made me, and I'm very comfortable in my own skin. Thank you very much.
That's what it, you know, come on. This is part with, you know, not accepting what you are. Accept what you are. Accept what... Oh, man, I just... You can't make this stuff up. I mean, really. I mean, and Rachel Dolezal comes at the heels of Caitlyn Jenner, and it's a perfect tie-in with, again, the identity politics of the left. And I want to say one more thing about Donald Trump. Donald Trump is egotistical. He is obnoxious. He is poorly spoken and terribly coiffed. And still would make a much better president than Hillary Clinton. And if you're in that booth and you got to choose between Hillary and the Donald, who are you going to pick? I'm sorry. I'm going to go with the Donald. Hello. All right, we're out of time for the day. But check out my website, edwardwoodson.com, edwardwoodson.com. And if you want to hear the show again or past shows, go to woodsonarchive.com. That's woodsonarchive.com. Also, follow me on Twitter, at Ed Woodson Show. It is an honor and a privilege to be with you every day to give you your fair share of the truth because you're entitled to it. Good day, America. I'm out.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Thank you for tuning in to the Edward Woodson Show, changing talk radio forever.
When it comes to your finances, you need an education so you can make informed decisions. That's what Matt Martinez is all about, empowering you through education for a different kind of financial planning, one that educates and puts you in control. Call Matt Martinez today at 480-695-3567. That's 480-695-3567. 3567. Matt wants to empower you because it's your financial future.
I've been talking with small business owners about hiring people, and they say, you know, I post my job somewhere and I either get nothing or I get a bunch of resumes, but they're not qualified. So how do I find qualified candidates? There doesn't seem to be an easy way to do this, but there's a new service that's making this process a lot easier for you. It's called ProJob Network. You just tell them who you need to hire, and they post your job opening on 40 different websites. It would take you forever to do that yourself. And then in about a day, maybe two depending on the type of job, you have a list of qualified local candidates that you can choose from. If you're hiring, I'm telling you, this is the way to do it. You'll save time, money, you'll find good employees. These guys are doing a one-week free trial right now. You can get your jobs posted, start getting some qualified candidates. It's completely free, no obligation. So to get your free trial, just go to postmyjobforfree.com, postmyjobforfree.com. Again, that's postmyjobforfree.com.
from the realms of astronomy, space, aviation, weather. This is the Dr. Sky Report.
I'm Dr. Sky with the Dr. Sky Minute from the realm of astronomy. A galaxy cloud to collide with the Milky Way? That's right. Get set for the so-called Smith Cloud, a cloud of interstellar hydrogen to collide with the Milky Way galaxy in 20 to 40 million years. This 11,000 light-year long and 2,500 light-year wide cloud, right now, this particular